It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The fact that you're not getting hired is not the standard. It has to be a medical reason that you cannot work, not simply that you're not able to find a job.
Attorney Kathy Pryor guides us through the complicated rules and process to obtain disability benefits from the Social Security Administration. You'll also find out about the much simpler rules and process if you have to sue somebody in the small claims court during this week's question and answer period. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. This show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Time is running out for low-income people to submit applications for cooling assistance. The purpose of cooling assistance is to prevent or help with cooling emergencies resulting from extreme heat. Applications are accepted at the local Department of Social Services from June 15 through August 15. To be eligible for any type of cooling assistance, certain income and citizenship rules must be met. In addition, the household must contain at least one vulnerable person, and there must be a cooling need. The following types of assistance are available if the eligibility conditions are met and the assistance will ensure cooling. Purchase or replace and install an air conditioner. Repair a central air conditioning unit or heat pump. Pay an electric utility security deposit, or pay the electric bill to operate the cooling equipment. Both renters and homeowners are eligible for cooling assistance, but your application must be submitted no later than Friday, August 15. For more information, contact your local Department of Social Services. Virginia helps a higher percentage of welfare recipients get jobs than any other state. This month, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services again ranked Virginia number one for job entry rates for recipients of Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF. In fiscal year 2006, 47% of adult recipients entered employment for the first time, compared to a national average of only 34%. Virginia also had the second highest rate of job retention, with 73% of adult recipients who got jobs still employed 6 months later, compared to a national average of 85%. TANF recipients receive job training and education through a wide range of programs that address barriers to employment. However, much still remains to be done. Under welfare reform, child care is a state responsibility, and there's still a desperate need for child care. Virginia projects a waiting list of 13,000 cases statewide for which child care services are necessary but not available. Without affordable child care, parents' employment and economic independence continues to be at risk. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
This week's legal term of the week is Social Security. Social Security is a federal program that pays monthly payments to aged, blind, and disabled people, and also to dependents such as children, spouses, parents, and survivors. The Social Security Administration runs the program. You don't have to be low income or have low resources to get benefits. You must have worked and paid enough Social Security taxes to get benefits. Social Security is like an insurance program and should not be confused with Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, which is like a welfare program. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's Legal Term of the Week.
If you're just joining us, this is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 Richmond Independent Radio. It's now time for our weekly question and answer session, and we're here in the studio with a questioner. Tell us your first name and where you're from.
My name is Nicole, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
What question do you have for us this week?
I'm just curious as to how to go about obtaining money that's over a year old. My husband and I purchased a home, and we were supposed to receive, I guess it would be considered rent money from the person who was living there, and we have not received it yet.
And was this agreement to get rent money, was it oral? Was it in writing?
It was in writing.
Well, that's good. The fact that it's in writing means that you are well within what's called the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations, that is the period within which you can bring a lawsuit, is 5 years on a writing. But you're also well within the statute of limitations for an oral agreement because that limitations period is 3 years, and your claim is barely more than a year old. The best way to sue someone for money is to go to the Small Claims Division of the General District Court for the city or county where the person either lives or where the claim arose. You can do this on your own, by yourself, without an attorney, with a small filing fee. And if you can't afford the filing fee, you can ask the clerk for what's called Form CC-1414, and the judge can let you file the case for free. The reason I advise people to file in the small claims court, there are three reasons. The first is that there are no attorneys at all allowed in the small claims court. So you won't have an attorney, but the other side won't have one either. The second is that you get a much quicker trial. In the regular division of the General District Court, on the first court date, if it is a contested case, the case is not heard then and there, but is scheduled for a later trial, which often can be 3 or 4 months later. In the Small Claims Division, the trial is heard on the first court date, which is usually about 3 weeks after you file. The third reason for a small claims court is that the rules of evidence are very much relaxed. The judge is not concerned about things like hearsay or business records or things of that nature. The judge will simply let you present your case the best way you know how. Now, there is a limitation on the small claims court. You can sue for only up to $5,000. If your claim is for more than that, you can sue for up to $15,000 in the regular division of the General District Court. But you do have all of those disadvantages of lawyers being involved and of having a much later trial date and having to deal with the rules of evidence. So that's why I recommend the small claims court. Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, that's this week's question and answer.
Ain't gonna let no hatred turn me around.
This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright, and I'm here at the Virginia Poverty Law Center with Kathy Pryor. Kathy is an elder law attorney with a lot of experience, including in Social Security and SSI disability benefits, and that's what we'll be discussing today. Thank you for being here, Kathy.
Welcome. Good to be here.
Let's start with, what is the difference between Social Security disability and SSI disability?
Well, Social Security is based on work earnings into the system, so you have to have worked enough and had a recent enough work history. SSI, supplemental security income, is based on need, so there are income and resource requirements for eligibility. The actual disability standard is the same for both.
And we'll talk about that shortly. How much does someone have to have worked in order to get Social Security disability benefits?
Well, generally, they have to have worked 40 quarters or 10 years. And for disability, they have to have worked five out of the last 10 years or some period of that, 20 quarters out of the last 40 quarters.
And if they've not worked long enough or have not worked recently enough, I gather they would not be eligible for Social Security, but possibly would be eligible for SSI disability?
That's right.
Okay. And what are the other rules for SSI disability? You mentioned that it's more like based on need. What are the rules there?
Well, income has to be below the SSI level, so currently, SSI level is, I think it's $637 a month for an individual. Certain income, other income is not counted. They don't count the first $20 of unearned income. If the person has some earnings, they don't count the first $65 and half of the rest. So you could have some earnings or some other income. Sometimes people have both Social Security and SSI. For instance, they may have a small Social Security check because their earnings have not been high over the year, but they get some, and then may supplement that with SSI.
And what about resources or assets? Is there a test for that in order to get SSI disability benefits?
Yes. An individual has to have under $2,000 in resources, accountable resources, a couple, $3,000. They don't count certain things, such as the home, if you're living in it, some life insurance. There are a few things that are not countable, but the general rule is $2,000 and $3,000.
Okay. So if you are a low-income person, never worked, you can apply for SSI disability. Can children get SSI disability benefits also?
If they're disabled, yes. They have to prove disability. It's a standard that's similar to adults in that there are listed impairments, which are fairly specific. But they can also show disability if the person has a medical impairment and can't do functionally what other kids their age can do. So it's a difficult standard to meet. But yes, SSI kids can get SSI.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the disability standard in general. You say it's the same for both Social Security and SSI. What is that standard? What are the rules? How disabled do you have to be in order to get either of these type of disability benefits?
Well, basically, you have to have a medical condition which has lasted or is expected to last at least 12 months or result in death, which makes you unable to engage in substantial gainful activity. Substantial gainful activity is a figure that goes, an amount that goes up at each year, but basically it's, for this year, it's $940 a month. But basically you have to have a condition which is serious and which is expected to last at least 12 months and which prevents you from doing work. And they have a whole process that they go through first to see if you are engaged in substantial gainful activity. If not, whether you have a severe impairment, which is generally considered to be, that's a fairly easy standard to meet. It's something that significantly impairs your ability to work. If you get through those two steps, the next step is whether you have what's called a listed impairment, which is a fairly difficult standard to meet that is based on the particular impairment that you have or combination of impairments. Even if you don't meet a listing, you can still qualify at a subsequent step. The next step is whether you are able to do, considering your impairments, if you are able to do your past relevant work. If you cannot, whether considering your limitations, your age, education, and work experience, you're able to do other work in the economy. So they go through this kind of five-step process to determine whether an individual is disabled.
So in other words, you have to not only be unable to do the work you've done in the past, but you also have to be unable to do pretty much any work that's out there? Is that the standard that they apply?
Well, not quite that restricted. Depending on your age and work experience, for instance, if you're an older person getting close to retirement age and you haven't had much education, for instance, it's a little bit easier to get disability because you may have done fairly heavy work in the past and may not be able to do that, and you may not really have the education to do a more sedentary job such as office work. But they do, factoring in your age, education, and work experience, there have to be no other jobs that you could realistically do considering your impairments.
I see. So what if a person is just having trouble getting a job? No one will hire them, or the type of work that they are able to do is not available where they live? Does the Social Security Administration look at factors like that?
The job has to be reasonably available, but no, the fact that you're not getting hired is not the standard. It has to be a medical reason that you cannot work, not simply that you're not able to find a job.
Okay. So what is the process by which somebody applies for Social Security or SSI disability? Where do you start?
You would go to the Social Security office and file an application there. Then you would need to provide medical documentation of your disability. And then there are several stages in the process. Some people are approved at that initial level. Many are not. There is a determination by an outside group as to whether you actually meet the disability standard. You would get a decision on whether or not you were approved at the initial level. If you're turned down at that level, you would have 60 days plus mailing time to appeal. That next stage is called the reconsideration level. And that's basically a paper review. You don't have a hearing, in-person hearing or anything for a disability case. And if turned down again at the reconsideration level, the next stage is the hearing. And that's really the best shot for most people because that's the one opportunity to actually appear before the person that's going to make the decision.
So how long does it typically take to get that initial decision? And then if you lose there in appeal, how long does it take to get that second decision that you mentioned, that reconsideration decision?
It varies, but I would say a matter of 2 or 3 months probably for each of those stages. It's just a guess. The next stage at getting a hearing is a longer process because since that is an in-person hearing and there are a lot of people that are trying to get hearings, they're basically taken in order of when you request your hearing, and that can be a year or more before from the time you actually request a hearing until you actually get a hearing.
And this is your first, and is it your only opportunity to have a face-to-face hearing in front of the person who will be deciding the case?
Yes, because the further stages are to the appeals council, which is again a paper review and not a in-person hearing, and then to court, federal court, and that's generally based on the record. So,
well, now, what type of impairments are they going to look at? Does it have to be a physical impairment? Can it be a mental impairment? Can it be both?
It can be both. They look at a combination of impairments, so any impairment that the person has that's whether physical or mental is considered.
And can a person be represented by an attorney in front of that face-to-face hearing that you talked about?
Yes, and many people are, and it's good if you can be. It's not required. A person can go on their own, but it's often helpful to have either an attorney or a paralegal who knows a lot about Social Security to represent them, because they can gather the records that are needed and also know what the judge is going to be looking for, and can help present the case in the best way.
Okay. How is age factor into the disability rules? Is it easier to get benefits the older you are?
It is. There are a number of factors like that. The older a person is, it becomes a little bit easier to get disability. The less education a person has, it becomes a little bit easier to get disability. The less previous work experience, or if somebody does not have what are considered to be transferable skills, if they've done fairly routine work or heavy labor or that kind of thing, it becomes easier to get disability. So a lot of those factors do play into it.
Now, if you do succeed in the claim, I gather it, if you have to take it to a hearing in front of an administrative law judge, this could be 12, 18, even 24 months after you apply. Will you get benefits for that entire period of time?
Yes. Generally, you get benefits back for SSI back to when you apply. For Social Security disability, you do not get benefits for the first 5 months from the time you became disabled. It's called the waiting period, but you could potentially get SSI during those 5 months.
And does Social Security pay interest on the benefits?
Oh, no. No. But you would get the benefits back for that period, but no, you're not getting the benefit of interest.
Well, thank you, Kathy. That was very informative. I appreciate you being here. We're back with the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio.
This week's top three tips are about wages. The first tip is that if you're paid hourly, you must be paid at least twice a month. And if you're salaried, you must be paid at least once a month. If you're not paid on time, you can complain to the Virginia Department of Labor and Industry. The second tip is that your employer may not withhold any wages except for taxes unless you freely and voluntarily say so in writing. The third tip is that you must be paid the minimum wage of $6.55 per hour and time and a half for all hours over 40 in a week. If not, you can complain to the U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and for this week, that's our top three tips.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m., The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered on this show, email that question to marty@cvlas.org with radio show question in the subject line. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. Let intolerance turn me around. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Every day, 8,000 children live in foster care in Virginia and are provided the worst foster care in the country, according to a recent study by the Pew Charitable Trust. Payments to foster parents are only about half of the minimum expense of caring for them. At the same time, one out of two teenagers who enters foster care is first placed in a group home at a cost of thousands of dollars per month. In the end, only 44% of foster care teens in Virginia find a permanent home, compared to 72% nationally. Join us the next two Wednesdays at 12:30 p.m. when the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show airs a two-part talk by Virginia's First Lady, Ann Holton, about Virginia's broken foster care system and how to fix it. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wigfrath.